This is Answers in Genesis in the United Kingdom. Welcome to Answers UK Radio. My name is Paul Taylor. I'm the senior speaker with Answers in Genesis in the United Kingdom. And this podcast has been being produced regularly now for the last few weeks, well, semi-regularly. Managed to fail to get it out a couple of weeks, I'm afraid. But we've had five episodes so far, and this is episode six. So welcome to the programme. We've got a lot of interesting things to talk about today, and I'm joined here by my colleague Simon Terry. Simon, welcome.
Thank you.
And we're going to be doing a bit of a Bible study today. I've got my Bible open here in front of me. But what's strange is that also on the desk in front of us here, there's a couple of dinosaurs, model dinosaurs. This one I think is a Brachiosaurus.
Are they yours, Paul? Are these yours, your toys? Or
well, when we're getting bored in the office, obviously we have to play with these things.
Bit of confession there.
Yes. Yeah. So we've got Brachiosaurus, and this makes marvellous radio, doesn't it? But this particular model is standing about, enormous height, about 9 inches high.
Huge. Yeah. It's towering above your Bible.
It is. Yeah. And just next to him, quite a lot... shorter and squatter, really, but a good deal longer, is an Apatosaurus.
That's right.
So we've got two friendly dinosaurs on the table here in front of us.
Well,
and they've been behaving so far. Hold on a minute, let me just train them, because I can train dinosaurs.
Really?
Yes. For instance, let me just get this Brachiosaurus to do some tricks, shall I?
This is amazing.
Ready?
Okay, go.
You ready?
Yeah.
Brachiosaurus, stay. There you are. It's very obedient.
That's amazing, Paul.
It's incredible, isn't it? It's a gift. It's one of the spiritual gifts, in fact. I don't think it's mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12, but if you read between the lines, you know, the ability to train model dinosaurs must be there. So why have we got these models here, and we're going to be doing a Bible study?
We are. A little bit of one, yes.
So which particular passage of the Bible are we looking at, then? Because I don't think it's... It's not Romans 12 here, is it? Be transformed by the renewal of your dinosaurs. It's
No, not that one. No. This is the Book of Job. The Book of Job, we find there a creature which has been the source of much scepticism and scoffing over the years. But I think if we look at this chapter in some detail, Paul, we can piece together a lovely picture here. And this is Job chapter 40.
Let's look at the Bible. Let's look in the Book of Job. Turn to chapter 40, in verse 15 we're told of a mighty creature that Job must have known. In the jungle of the reeds and ferns, Behemoth made his home. Behemoth is a dinosaur, a dinosaur is he.
Read from verse, shall we verse 15, Paul?
Yes, verse 15, I think.
Verse 15. Look now, this is God speaking to Job, look now at the behemoth which I made along with you. He eats grass like an ox. See now his strength is in his hips, and his power is in his stomach muscles. He moves his tail like a cedar, the sinews of his thighs are tightly knit. His bones are like beams of bronze, his ribs like bars of iron. He is the first of the ways of God. Only he who made him can bring near his sword. Surely the mountains yield food for him, and all the beasts of the field play there. He lies under the lotus trees, in a covert of reeds and marsh. The lotus trees cover him with their shade. The willows by the brook surround him. Indeed, the river may rage, yet he is not disturbed. He is confident, though the Jordan gushes into his mouth, though he takes it in his eyes, or one pierces his nose with a snare.
Well, this creature, the behemoth, is a fascinating sounding creature. And but, you know, I haven't, as far as I know, I've not seen a behemoth. At least we don't know that word. It's not a word that if you go and look it up in a dictionary of animals, encyclopedia of animals, you're not going to find that creature listed in there. So it seems to be a word that we've lost in some way. So what do you assume that this creature is then, Simon?
Well, I can't prove this, but I believe the creature that Job is witnessing in this passage is a dinosaur. And I would go further to say it probably is one of the great titanosaurs. Titan meaning something of enormous size and strength, and saur meaning lizard. One of the huge long-necked dinosaurs we find in the fossil record.
And that's why we've got these models here. We're not just really messing around here. The Brachiosaurus and the Apatosaurus, that's why we've got those two creatures on the desk, because it could be something of that sort.
Yes.
And there are a couple of other dinosaurs within the same group, aren't there? Would I be right in thinking that an Apatosaurus is the same group, or is that slightly different?
Well, I think as we look at this passage, Paul, see that a number of these great sauropods cannot be included as candidates for behemoth because of their structure, the way they're made. We can knock off a few of this as we go through.
Okay, but I mean, obviously some people would come up with some objections to this straight away. After all, if God's talking to Job about behemoth, he's talking presumably about an animal that Job would recognize, therefore an animal that people would have seen. And are you saying then that this animal could still be alive?
Well, again, it's important, Paul, as you would say yourself, that we must take scripture in context, and the context of the passage is that behemoth is set as living evidence among the other living examples that Job would have seen. God brings before the mountain goats, God brings before Job the ox, the ostrich, the horse, the eagle, and God uses behemoth to strengthen his argument before Job. So this is not a creature of myth, this is living evidence that's used to bring strength to the argument. And also, of course, we must understand that our language has changed, our history has changed, and so we wouldn't find the word behemoth as a word we'd use today in our modern language. But it is a very important word, and we'll look at that in a moment.
Yes. So the language then has clearly altered what you're saying. You know, we've lost this particular word, behemoth, from common usage.
It's not a very popular name anymore. I believe that the animal that Joe would have witnessed there are reports, Paul, of some giant sauria in the great jungles of the Congo. That's a difference, perhaps a different at another time. But behemoth is a word we don't use very much today. So.
Okay, one of the common objections to the idea of this creature being a dinosaur is the common, well, you don't find the word dinosaur in the Bible, do you?
No, you don't. That's true. But of course, there are many words we have today which we use, which are modern and aren't found in Scripture. And it must be, we must remind ourselves, the word dinosaur springs from the 19th century. Richard Owen, he found some bones and formed, pieced together the word dinosaur, 1841. Now, we know that dinosaurs existed before 1841, but under what title? It would not have been dinosaur.
And so Richard Owen invented the word dinosaur. He used a couple of Greek words, he put it together, and he invented the word dinosaur in 1841. Very interesting man, wasn't he? Because, of course, he founded the Natural History Museum, and for many years his statue was at the head of the staircase there in the Natural History Museum. And he said that he dedicated that museum really to the glory of God, because he saw God at work in creation through all the things that he discovered. Because you and I went to the Natural History Museum not so long ago, and his statue doesn't appear to be there at the head of the stairs now.
No, it's
been replaced
in a corner by a fire extinguisher, which is...
It took us a little while to find him, in fact, didn't we? We were playing hide-and-seek, really, with Richard Owen. And,
bit sad.
And who have they put in his place?
Charles Darwin.
Charles Darwin. So. Well, Simon, as you know, there are a number of common objections that people bring up if we claim this to be a dinosaur. For example, the second part of verse 15 says that Behemoth eats grass like an ox. Bit of a problem here for some people, because well, certainly when I was at school, I was taught that grass hadn't even evolved in the age of the dinosaurs. That's actually not a view that evolutionists hold today, is it?
Well, no, and of course we must look closely at the Hebrew here. Verse 15 tells us that the behemoth was made along with Job.
Yes.
In that sense, he's an animal that was created beside man. Then, of course, that second part which you referenced there, Paul, he eats grass like an ox.
Yes.
Now, he eats grass. This is a creature which would have probably had grass as its main part of its main diet.
Yes.
And the Hebrew here denotes a herding animal. So he eats grass like a herding animal. Now, skeptics have said this cannot be a long-necked dinosaur, because those dinosaurs lacked molars, and without molars, how can you eat grass like a herding animal? Well, I may just say for the tape, ducks and geese lack molars and they eat grass pretty well, but this creature does in fact eat grass, the scripture says, and there has been found not that long ago, I believe, they found grass in the coprolites. That's a technical
yes.
term for dinosaur dung. They found coprolites in the coprolites. Sorry, they found grass on the
yes.
menu of the titanosaurs. Now these were huge, long-necked dinosaurs. So they did indeed eat grass, but how they ate the grass is another question.
And even serious evolutionists therefore now agree that
yes.
these type of dinosaurs must have eaten grass.
They must have eaten grass.
Yes.
But the question is how. Now, whether they graze like a giant lawnmower and sweep their heads from side to side, and in that aspect grazed like a herding animal. That's one particular detail we could apply to this. We could use here, but it's difficult to ascertain.
And we'll look at some more things to do with behemoths from the other verses in Job chapter 40 after this short break.
I'd like to start by asking a question. How many of you like to lose all the time? How many of you like to win? You know, I like to win so much, when you play those games, I have the little hourglass. If you're not looking at me, I'm going tap, 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 tap to make that sand fall a little bit faster. Because I like to win.
Internationally renowned Answers in Genesis speaker Mike Riddle is coming to the UK in March 2010. Find out about hosting this dynamic speaker by contacting our offices 0116-270-8400 and get hold of this DVD, 4 Power Questions to Ask an Evolutionist, at half price, £5 only.
Just go out and give the truth. It took me 7 years to understand it, so don't worry about time. But you know, you can't give that truth. You can't bring down those strongholds if you don't know the truth.
Well, welcome back to the show. I'm here with Simon Terry, and my name is Paul Taylor, and we're talking about the behemoth, an animal mentioned in Job chapter 40. And we're talking about behemoth eating grass like an ox, or as we should more correctly say, eating grass like a herding animal. Now, if we move on then to verse 16 and following, what are the other things then you want to say about behemoth and the sort of creature that this animal is, Simon?
Well, to understand the purpose of this encounter with Behemoth, we must again take into account the context. God is challenging Job's outlook here. He's speaking into Job's life and addressing his understanding of reality. Job, like us, needs to learn some very important lessons, and it's through the marvels and the magnificence of the created universe, the stars, the highly complex creatures, Job is learning here of the incredible power and wisdom of God displayed through the creation. With the behemoth, we're just astounded here at the size and the power of this creature. We're reminded it is God alone who can subdue this creature. And as we move on in this passage, we see God's special care for the behemoth and the amazing wisdom of God in the creature's design. And these are some aspects we can perhaps cover later. But this encounter highlights our significance. You see, Job is not an animal. He, like us, has been made in the image of God. And as you lead up to chapter 42, you see there that God does not tell Job why all this has happened to him. And of course, after some later lessons, we see with the terrifying Leviathan, Job unconditionally surrenders to the wisdom and power of God. In verse 5, we read, "I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes." What a marvellous message.
What a very apt way to end the programme. That was Simon Terry bringing this podcast to a close. The music that you heard featured during this podcast is the song Behemoth is a Dinosaur, written and performed by Buddy Davis, and available on the CD, The Best of Buddy Davis, available from the Answers in Genesis offices on 0116-270-8400. If you've got any questions about anything on this program, please do get in touch with us, or any suggestions for the program, please do get in touch with us. Our email address is radio@answersingenesis.org.uk. That's radio@answersingenesis.org.uk. And until next time, goodbye and God bless.
Some say Behemoth is nothing more than this, an elephant or a hippo, but I don't think it fits. Because they don't have a tail like a cedar tree, Behemoth seems much more like a dinosaur to me. Behemoth is a dinosaur is he. He eateth grass as an ox, his tail's like a cedar tree. His bones are strong as bars of iron, he's chief in the ways of God. Could Behemoth be a dinosaur, a mighty sauropod? Behemoth is a dinosaur is he. Eateth grass as an ox, his tail's like a cedar tree. His bones are strong as bars of iron, he's chief in the ways of God. Could Behemoth be a dinosaur, a mighty sauropod? I think that's what it is.